From the Center for Investigative Reporting and Border inspectors gave him a document to sign in English while he waited to see if the government would let him stay. Over the summer, ICE deported him. Expedited removal is fast, and there are no sexual workplace investigations, crashing with relatives.
Yes, death, sex, and money.
From the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX, this is Reveal. I'm Anna Sale, host of the podcast Death, Sex, and Money from WNYC Studios. I'm filling in for Al Letson this week. Earlier in the show, we heard how the Trump administration might expand a policy called expedited removal to make it easier and faster to deport people. Despite the policy's name, it isn't always fast. If immigrants claim they're afraid to return to their home countries, they can be held indefinitely while authorities decide their cases. That's what happened to 34-year-old Lorena and her son Carlos. We're not using their real names because Lorena's afraid immigration authorities will punish her for speaking about her time in detention. In August, they went before an immigration judge in York, Pennsylvania.
All right, we're on the record.
Estamos en actas.
The court's audio recording is a little crackly.
Good afternoon.
Buenas tardes.
On the right side of the courtroom, a large flat-screen TV shows Lorena and Carlos sitting at a small white table. They're video conferenced in from a federal immigrant detention facility, about an hour's drive from where the judge sits. Carlos is 4 years old. His front teeth are missing, and he's got deep dimples. His head barely reaches the top of his chair. Judge Kumas Gopavar compliments Carlos for dressing up and for slicking down his hair.
You're looking good. I like the suit you're wearing.
The judge will decide whether to release Lorena and her son. The family's lawyer, Bridget Cambria, tells the court she's requested their release many times, but ICE always pushes back.
We are completely at the behest of ICE, and they have refused to release him for 650 days for no particular reason.
That's 650 days, nearly half of Carlos's life. ICE's attorney, John Staples, gives a reason: expedited removal. Staples says the policy shuts families like this one out of the courts, so they shouldn't be before a judge at all.
Respondents in expedited removal proceedings, it's different. So
while the attorneys debate his freedom, Carlos barely pays attention. Head down, he scribbles on a piece of paper until the judge interrupts him.
Were you coloring?
Estaba dibujando.
Sí. That's very good.
Lorena and Carlos are hoping this judge will free them. We're going to tell you what happened in court that day to Lorena and Carlos. Reporter Laura Benshoff of WHYY in Philadelphia was there. She's been following them and other families in detention to try to understand why ICE holds kids for months, sometimes years, even though it's technically illegal. Here's Laura.
When I first talked with Carlos's mother, Lorena, back in March, ICE had detained them for about a year and a half at the Burks Family Residential Center, 70 miles northwest of Philadelphia. ICE doesn't let me record inside, so we talk on the phone with an interpreter's help. Lorena says visitors may not see barbed wire fences or bars on the windows, but it feels like a prison because they're always being watched. And as a mother, she feels powerless.
There are some days, a lot of days, when my kid tells me, "Mom, let's leave. Let's get out of here. I don't want to be here." When he asks me, "When can we leave?" I don't have an answer because I don't know when.
The place, all beige and linoleum, used to be a nursing home. Inside, the days melt together. Wake up, then breakfast in the cafeteria, usually processed stuff. For the kids, there's school in the classroom wing during the spring and fall. The center pays the adult detainees $1 a day to do manual work, like cleaning the common rooms. At night, guards check the bedrooms every 15 minutes, shining their flashlights over the families. As many as 3 families share each bedroom. To lift their spirits, Lorena and the other women created a ritual, 10 a.m. prayer service in the detention center's small chapel.
I'm evangelical, and I think that if I didn't look for God, like I do every day here, it would be hard to go on.
Lorena started leading the daily worship service after ICE deported the woman who used to do it. If you want to see what the center looks like, we do have some video you can see. Text the word INSIDE to the number we gave you before. That's INSIDE to 202-873-8325. In some ways, Lorena's path from Honduras to the United States was typical. She and Carlos fled after a gang threatened them.
They started to break in and take my stuff. The truth is that sometimes, simply by being a single mother, you become an easy target for them.
They requested asylum. The first part of that process is an interview. The month Lorena and Carlos arrived, nearly 80% of people got through that test and continued to the next stage. This is where their story gets way less typical. Lorena says the officers who assessed her claim were openly skeptical.
They told me, don't make up stories, because they don't believe. They don't believe what's happening in our country.
The asylum officer denied Lorena's claim on the first go-round. In most cases, that would have meant deportation to Honduras. In their case, the American Civil Liberties Union stepped in. It saw what happened as part of a disturbing trend, the federal government rejecting valid asylum claims, and decided to fight it. On behalf of Lorena, Carlos, and about 30 other mothers and children, the ACLU sued the federal government to try to get a second look at their asylum claims. That was in 2015. Carlos, barely three when he and his mother arrived, turned 4 years old inside the Burks Family Residential Center. Family detention isn't supposed to stretch on and on the way theirs has. That's because of a big class action settlement from the mid-1990s, where the government agreed to treat detained kids humanely and keep their detentions short. During the Obama administration, ICE tried to get around that agreement. It began holding kids by themselves and kids with their parents much longer than before. As family detentions in Pennsylvania stretched into weeks, then months, then more than a year, local advocacy groups began holding monthly protests outside the center. U.S. senators wrote letters urging the Department of Homeland Security to release the families. Global human rights organizations condemned the U.S. over family detention. One reason for all this criticism, there's evidence that living in detention is, by itself, bad for children. Psychotherapist Kathy Miller is one of several who visits the Burke Center to evaluate detainees when their lawyers request it. She's met with a half dozen kids there. One seven-year-old's symptoms have really stuck with her.
Anytime any kind of trauma discussion happened, he would run laps around the tiny table we sat at and then jump up and slap the wall really loudly. You know, that right there, it's so common for kids.
This kind of distraction is a classic sign of post-traumatic stress disorder in kids, Kathy says. And this boy's mother said that over and over, he wrapped a lanyard around his neck like a noose and said he wanted to kill himself. Kathy drew out that he was terrified of returning to El Salvador, where gangs had targeted his father, and he'd seen the bodies of family friends they'd killed. By Kathy's second visit, he'd been there for a year and a half. She says he'd gotten worse, not better.
There's a direct correlation between the length of time that a child is in detention and worsening symptoms.
ICE deported that boy and his mother in May. Kathy wrote up a full report about this boy's mental health and how living in the center had affected him. You can see a snippet of that document by texting the word report to the number we gave you before. That's report to 202-873-8325. As for Carlos, he cries a lot. He hides under the bed when kids he's gotten close to are released or deported. An outside psychologist never evaluated him, but Lorena did see one, who diagnosed her with depression. In that evaluation, Lorena admitted she sometimes thinks about killing herself. In the past dozen years, at least 7 people in ICE detention have committed suicide. Over the phone, Lorena tells me she's feeling anxious.
I'm stressed. I have gained a lot of weight, and I can't sleep at night.
There's an in-house psychologist at Berks. Lorena says she doesn't trust him. That distrust carries over to other problems. In court documents, the women in the Berks Center complained the staff and nurses routinely downplayed their medical concerns, like the parasite and painful cavities that bothered Carlos. Lorena says he suffered for a while before getting treatment.
I think 3 to 4 months. He'd have pain for a few days, then it would stop, then it would come back.
Officials with ICE wouldn't talk to me for this story, but they did write responses to some of my questions. In a statement, an agency spokesman said comprehensive medical care is provided from the moment the families arrive throughout their entire stay at the center. Immigration lawyers and other advocates brought detainees' complaints to a Berks County Commissioners meeting last year.
Speaking of medical issues,
during the public comment period, attorney Carol Ann Donahoe recited a list of problems.
We have the distinction at Berks of having the only rape conviction of the 3 family detention centers.
Berks County wants to keep the center open. ICE pays the county to run it day to day. In return, the region gets more than 60 jobs, and the county government pulls in an extra $1 million a year in revenue. County Commissioner Kevin Barnhart told the audience the detainees' complaints don't tell the whole story.
These folks are given medical care, dental care, psychological care. We have been inspected more than any facility in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania in the last 2 years.
This meeting ended abruptly when the commissioners and the lawyers began shouting at each other.
Instead of pro bono. You're not pro bono. You're pro bono.
Yes, we are. Oh, my
please.
Goodness. No, I'm sorry. We need to have
a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Here's
the evidence.
Motion to adjourn.
Beyond Berks County, ICE is responsible for dealing with an influx of families and unaccompanied kids from Central America. Detention is part of its strategy.
It works. It was made as a deterrent.
Joe Salemi's retired from ICE. He supervised the Berks Center when it first opened more than a decade ago. He says officials want people in detention to tell relatives back home how hard it is to get into this country.
You'd hope they get on the phone and say, don't, you know, call Honduras. Yeah, they're putting people in jail now.
Matt O'Brien, a former attorney for ICE, offers another reason for family detention. It keeps people in one location while the federal government weighs their asylum claims.
If ICE has to go looking for people, it drastically reduces the number of people that it's able to remove from the U.S. in a timely fashion.
These days, Matt works for FAIR, lobbying to restrict all immigration to the U.S. Some of FAIR's leaders have been tied to white supremacists. When President Trump took office, he appointed FAIR's executive director to a top post in U.S. Customs and Border Protection. The Trump administration wants immigrant detention. But after years of court battles, this summer, federal judges ruled that ICE can't automatically detain kids for so long. And if ICE wouldn't free them, they could go before an immigration judge. This is what Lorena and Carlos had waited for, and it's what landed them in that court hearing we heard at the beginning of the story.
All right, so I'll ask again. Both parties submit for a decision?
The government does, yes.
Ms. Cameron?
During detention, Carlos had received a special visa just for kids that creates a path for him to stay in the country. But there's no guarantee his mom can stay. After he sifted through all the legal arguments, the judge invited Carlos to chime in.
Quiero irme con mi mamá.
I want to go with my mom.
All right. So my ruling is as follows. I do find that this court has jurisdiction over custody proceedings involving this minor. I find that the respondent should be released on his own recognizance.
The judge released them both.
The court is going to release the mother to accompany the respondent.
Lorena grabbed for a tissue.
Thank you, Judge.
Thank you, Judge.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, Judge.
Thank you, Judge.
Thank you. Thank
you. You're welcome. You're welcome.
They left the Burke Center that same day. That night, they celebrated with pizza and carne asada at a Mexican restaurant. A couple of months after their release, I visited Lorena and Carlos, where they live now, in Indianapolis. They share a two-story house with a family they knew from Honduras. The family supports them while Lorena waits for the government's permission to work. She shows me their new room in the basement, joking, aww, it's too messy for pictures.
No camera.
No camera.
No camera. Ah. No.
There's a mound of cartoon character blankets on the bed, a small refrigerator, and some dirty laundry cascading from a hamper. Most importantly, though, she says, there's privacy. Nobody else comes there.
Nadie más viene. Solo mío.
Carlos hovers close to his mom, playing a game on a tablet or burrowing under the blankets and squealing. They share the same good humor, but also the lingering effects of detention.
When I first left the detention center, I was still very confused. It was hard to put everything in order in my mind.
Lorena lifts the leg of her pink jeans to reveal a black plastic ankle monitor.
I feel good here, I really do. But I am always being watched.
That keeps her from feeling truly free. Carlos acts like a goofball sometimes, but his mood swings are intense.
I think it has to do with the detention. Before, he cried a lot. Now it's changed into anger.
That's not all they have to contend with. Lorena's immigration status is in limbo. She doesn't have a good case for legal residence in this country. And since their release, ICE has appealed to a higher court, arguing that expedited removal means they should be detained again.
It makes me angry. We were locked up for 22 months and they're still fighting for us not to be free.
ICE agents could rearrest Lorena and Carlos at any time and put them right back in the Burke Center.
That story from WHYY's Laura Benshoff with Reveal producer Laura Starcheski. What happens next to Lorena and Carlos depends on what the courts decide, but ICE has stopped holding families at Burke's for long stretches in the meantime. Many other people continue to arrive in the U.S. fleeing the kinds of circumstances this family did. We'll meet one of them when we come back. You're listening to Reveal.